Hello, this is Jonathan, co-host of the Long Stride podcast, with a small disclaimer before you listen to this episode. You'll hear a few times Heather mentioning how her studio is open and some of the precautions they're taking to keep people safe. The truth is that we recorded this episode prior to Toronto entering the lockdown on Monday, November 23rd. So Cardio, unfortunately, is not open now, but we do invite you to find them online, Cardio Athletica, or catching Heather on Instagram, where they can share information on how you can sweat locally with them. Thanks for understanding and enjoy the episode.
Sure, races are canceled, but, you know, community isn't canceled. And, you know, coming together and being, you know, together is bigger than this.
This is the Longest Stride podcast. Join us as we connect the boroughs of the GTA running community one stride at a time.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Greenwald, and on behalf of my co-host, Andre Morgan, welcome to the Longest Stride podcast. Today's guest is a leader in the Toronto fitness community. By day, she consults in public education, developing resources for health and physical education teachers, and by night, she's the owner and operator of Toronto's most welcoming and accessible fitness studio/community, the recently rebranded Cardia. Welcome to the podcast, Heather Gardner.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Welcome.
Yeah, I don't think that intro did you justice, Heather, but we'll let the rest of the podcast do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, most people have seen her work, because not that she's only a community leader, but she competes as well.
She so, competes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the other end of the spectrum.
That's right. Yeah.
So let's get right into it. So my first question to you is, you know, apart from just being a community leader, what was athletics like for you growing up?
Sure. I was active my entire life. So I grew up in a very active family. As kids, my sister and I were regularly involved in sport. I think it was the way that my parents tried to keep us busy and out of trouble by putting us in organized sports. So we did swimming, and I did competitive gymnastics. My sister played ringette. So we were constantly going from the pool to the arena to the club, and then, you know, school in there as well. And we were both very active in school athletics also.
Right. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Toronto?
No, I actually grew up in Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's so far.
Yeah. So I did the opposite. Everyone started moving to Hamilton 10 years ago, and I moved to Toronto.
Got it. Okay. And then, so running, stuff like that also happened, like,
yeah. So I didn't really run in high school. I was on the track team 1 year, and I wasn't good. Not that that really matters, but, my biggest memory, this is totally going to take us off in a different way, but my biggest memory from being in track in high school was actually coming home from a track meet and learning that Kurt Cobain died.
No.
Oh, wow. So being in the car and driving back actually from Toronto from a track meet, and it was the day that Kurt Cobain died. So that's my most vivid, you know, athletic running memory from high school, which has nothing to do with running at all, apart from the fact that I was with my team. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a few memories, or very, very few. I could count maybe on maybe one hand, like just key moments in my life, and like Challenger, Shuttle, and stuff like that. But Kurt Cobain, I can tell you exactly to the, like, every detail of where I was when that happened. And it's such a bizarre thing, because, like, yeah, a huge fan and everything, but, like, there were other big events in the world that were going on, like, throughout my life. And that's, for some reason, that is one thing that I always think about. So that's wild. Wow.
Yeah, it kind of created like a marker, right? Like
a
pushpin on where you were at the time when something happened, except something tragic like that.
Yeah, totally. So in high school, I did a lot of gymnastics. So like I said, I did competitive gymnastics growing up. And then in university, I was in the pool. So swimming has kind of been this other major in my life from being a child. And so was a lifeguard. So did a lot of swimming in university, as well as played field hockey, which I guess there's a little bit of running there. But again, nothing like what I got into later on in life and the last, you know, 10, 11 years.
Yeah, well, then you just add a bike and some running shoes to that swimming, and now you're a triathlete, right?
Exactly, yep.
When did that come about?
So I actually started my first triathlon, I did as a relay with one of my friends, so someone who was significant in my running community, in my running story, Kim Augustino, who is a friend and coach of mine. Her husband had hip surgery and he was doing a triathlon and couldn't run. So I ended up doing the run part of his race as a relay. And that was kind of my first experience into triathlon, was still running. And I nearly got us disqualified because I was wearing headphones.
No.
And they are really strict in triathlon, for people who don't know that. You know, in running, we say don't race with headphones, but people often do. Well, in triathlon, you will straight up get disqualified. So, yeah, so we had to do that. I didn't know, she's new, all this kind of stuff. Luckily, that didn't happen. But I've, you know, got intrigued and then decided to do my first sprint, which was here in Toronto, which is the Toronto Triathlon Festival, which is just this awesome triathlon that happens right downtown. So you are, you know, running along the MGT, riding your bike along the Gardner, and then swimming just by Ontario Place. And that kind of hooked me. So I went from a sprint triathlon to a half Ironman. So I kind of jumped over everything in the middle. And it was a race at, well, the race that I did was Muskoka, but in the meantime, I had done the inaugural Dopey Challenge at Walt Disney World.
Oh, which, yes.
Yeah, for people who don't know, it's 4 days. It's a 5, a 10, a half, and a full. And it's in January. And I was fried.
Wow.
So after that, I was, you know, not like, my legs were just toast. And people were getting ready for Around the Bay. And I was so injured still from that race that it, I wasn't able to do Around the Bay. So, you know, my club, my crew at the time, I was training with a group called The Runway, and, you know, people were getting ready to do the Around the Bay and I wasn't doing anything. And I really started to affect me mentally that, you know, they were getting ahead of me and everyone's season was kicking off and I wasn't able to do this. And so then my sister said, you know, why don't we train for this half Ironman? And I thought, okay, something totally different. And it absolutely did get me out of this, you know, mental funk that I was kind of in, and gave me a different challenge. And I really liked it. And so I've done 4 half Ironmans now. So yeah.
That's wow. Awesome. And you said your sister pulled you up by just, you know, pointing into a different direction. Any tips you have on anyone that's kind of going through it right now, just, you know, overtraining and kind of grinding the gears?
Yeah, I feel like, well, right now, especially with COVID, you know, all the races being canceled, getting in a funk right now is not a tough thing to do. So I think for people to be able to connect with others in their community, so whether it's people that you actually know who you've run with, even if you're not running together, you know, we still want to be keeping a distance and holding onto our bubbles. But, you know, for you to be able to connect with people, to be able to, you know, even just be together and talk about running and get inspired and, you know, hold each other accountable. Social media is such an awesome place to be able to do that. And the three of us all know each other. We probably met through social media before we met in real life.
100%.
And it's, yeah, it's, you know, that you just see somebody else and you inspire other people, or, you know, reaching out, messaging someone in their DMs, even if you don't know them. You know, the running community, especially on social, is so giving of, you know, time and motivation and inspiration. So whether you know someone in real life or whether it's online, just connecting with someone and having somebody to talk to motivate, talk about goals, I think really helps. And that's what my sister was for me. Just, you know, here's something new to try. And it worked.
That's a great segue, Heather. First of all, great sister, but also a great segue into community. So what's your first experience with the Toronto running community?
Sure. So when I first moved to Toronto, I was actually training for my first marathon, which was the New York City Marathon in 2010. And I actually came from Hamilton, as we talked about, and this really close-knit run crew started by my coach Kim, who I'd mentioned, in Hamilton. So I moved from this really great group to Toronto, where I was by myself. I didn't have anybody to be running with. I was training for a marathon, now putting in all these kilometers alone. So it was my Toronto experience actually started with the absence of community, with no community. And then as I would run, I would just kind of find myself up along Queen Street here at the Lululemon on Queen Street and just go in and be talking to them and, you know, just connecting over my training and over gear. You know, what runner doesn't love talking about gear? Mm-hmm. So, so just being able to have conversations about the sport and, you know, talk of what marathoner also doesn't love to talk about their training. So it was just a great spot where I could talk about gear, talk about my running, all that kind of thing. And then after the race, they actually asked me to come on as an ambassador with them and start what we know as the Toronto running community now. So again, this was back in 2010. And so when, well, actually with them started in 2011, because my race was in 2010. So from 2011, we just started these meetup runs out of the Queen Street store. And I kind of took this idea from Lululemon of, you know, connection and having people know how important they are and how, you know, meaningful it is to have them participate with us. And we just kind of went from there. And at some, one point, we were running out of the store 5 days a week. So we weren't just doing our, you know, meetup runs. We were doing hill workouts and sprint workouts and long run efforts. Essentially, it was almost my regular training plan that we were now doing as a community. And then my time with them ended after 3 years. And I just thought, you know, I didn't want it to end. I wanted to keep going. I wanted something else. And also during that time, the seed planted of the idea of opening my own studio. So before, when I was in Hamilton, I taught fitness and I taught at a big box gym. And the idea of owning something myself wasn't something that I had even considered doing or even realized was possible as entrepreneur, as female. You know, it was just not something that I saw. So when I came to Toronto and I got connected through, you know, to the Lululemon there on Queen Street, I saw other young women entrepreneurs owning their own studios, and it really let me see that that's something that I could do too. And so then that November was actually when we started our first run under our old name, which people will know us originally as Tribe.
Yeah. And that's like amazing segue, because part of it is not that, hey, I just wanted to have a gym because I want everyone to look at me. You competed, you've created a community outside of even just being about your own goals. It turned out where just the fact that you said you've, you know, helped Lululemon to do just a run crew out of there, and then you were just catching up with individuals that had the same interests. And then you were empowered to see that it was possible to then own a gym. And I think that's the part that we're, you know, want to get into the nitty gritty of that, because it, you know, it's no easy feat, I'm sure. Especially just to start from nothing, really, right? So when did you obviously realize that you wanted to start a gym after being empowered, but what was that breaking point?
Sure. So we, before we actually opened the studio, we had done over 500 free workouts in the community. So not just running, but also yoga. We also used to do baby meetups. So we would have, you know, moms and their strollers just meet up together and go for walks. So we really had this, you know, free community fitness. And even the idea of moving into the studio, that was something that I didn't want to lose, because that's where our roots were. And so even with the physical spaces, we're now 4 years with this physical studio space. We still offer our free workouts with our two runs during the week, and then the summertime, our outdoor park yoga. So that was, you know, something that I didn't want to lose. So I appreciate you honoring that too. But, you know, in having this physical space, people might think, oh, you know, you went straight to business. You know, we didn't. We have continued to give back to community, because, you know, that's where we started. That's where our roots are.
In reality, go ahead.
That's okay.
No, I was saying in reality, you have to keep the lights on at home too, right? So they had nothing to do with if we should pay or not pay kind of thing. And I think our next question to that is, and then the free community stuff that the yoga session and the different sessions that were themed and curated, was any of those almost like testing if it was a thing there?
I think it probably was. So people who, you know, as we look back on it now, could definitely think that it was. It really was just something that I wanted to do. And so I did it. Like our first yoga, we did it in Canoe Landing Park, which is in City Place, which is the community near where the studio is. And I just, you know, had my yoga certification and again, looked at, you know, the holistic approach to not only running, but healthy, active living, and thought, you know, this is a really great park. It would be cool if someone would do some yoga here. thought, why not me? So yeah, so we ended up doing that. And by the third week, we had 160 people show up.
Wow.
So we had over 300 people respond to this Facebook event. Like we just promoted it on Facebook. And then 160 people showed up. So, you know, clearly other people thought that this park would be really great for yoga as well. It was crazy. We'd have taxis lined up. Like that was always the thing that I could, you know, couldn't fathom, that the side of the park, taxi, people would just be like, again, this was, you know, 7 years ago. So people would be taking taxis to come to this yoga event because they, you know, wanted accessible fitness, and it was a great location outside. And we provided them with this great, you know, service, this class for free. So, you know, people, whatever their backgrounds, were able to join us. All they needed was, you know, time and a mat. You didn't even need a mat. You could use a towel or just pull up some piece of the grass and, you know, move together outside and enjoy the sun and, you know, the CN Tower in the background. So it was really this, you know, quite an amazing experience there. And being in that moment with, you know, all those people, and then our run club, again, really just kind of fueled this idea of mine that, you know what, this, we could do this. This could work.
Oh, life before coronavirus.
But right? it was the point. It was that breaking point when you noticed that people just wanted to move and they just needed to be pointed into the right direction. And from, you know, just the amount of people that turned out, you're like, there's something here. So at first, it obviously it was about just like, hey, I want to host a yoga session, or I want to bring people together to then work out. And then the back end of it, in turn, where you're more convinced that you could start a business.
Yeah. And the idea of community and being a part of something, I think, was also, you know, part of what this was. So, you know, I talked about when we first started back in, you know, 7 years ago, the only run clubs at the time, there were only run crews at the time, were Parkdale, who just are celebrating their 10-year anniversary, Night Terrors, who, you know, within weeks started from us. And we were the only three crews at the time. Mm-hmm. So when people were looking for, you know, free things to do, it isn't like, you know, what the, you know, environment is right now, where you could probably find a free workout every single day, and especially online now, you know, or before COVID, you could find a free meetup workout every single day. But, you know, at the time there weren't that many options. So to be able to feel connected to a group was really important and really special. So it was nice to be able to do that for people.
I'm still amazed to think that it wasn't even that long ago and it was three real, you know, really only three community groups, right?
Yeah.
It's just fascinating to think about that. You mentioned your run crew, your run club, or I guess the night that you run a few times already, and you didn't really have to go far to find a run crew leader, someone to help you do those runs. Who was that?
What?
Mark?
Oh,
don't worry. He doesn't listen. It's okay.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it actually wasn't Mark. Mark didn't do anything until we opened the studio. It was all me. So yeah,
Thank you. Get out there. You did the runs and everything.
So yeah. Let's set the record straight. As the first female leader of a Toronto run crew, not only one of the first three run crews, but the first, and you know, like there's only, you could count on one hand how many female crew leaders there are. You know, but I was the first. The only reason why Mark stepped up, and if you ask him, he will be very clear with this, that he actually does not like running. He likes, he likes community, and he likes being connected with other people, but he actually doesn't like running. So it wasn't until we opened the studio and I had to be teaching. So, you know, it's as a startup business, obviously being the owner, I'm not paying myself. So if I can be working, then it's less expense for the studio. And then that was kind of his, you know, being, I would hope that I asked him. I'm not sure. Sometimes I voluntold people, which is a trait that I got from my mom, like volunteering, but you don't offer an option. You are voluntold. So yeah. I hope I didn't do that, but I might've done that. And then, you know, as part of the team, he just, you know.
Heather, we'll get him on the podcast, okay? And we're gonna say, okay, now everything that Heather said, I want to know the truth, okay? No, but you know what? I think, kudos to you, and that's amazing to be one of the first women, you know, run crew leaders. It's fascinating, and I think it's an awesome thing to celebrate. And he's definitely helped, you know, with the studio and stuff like that. I just remember walking through the studio when it was being built, and you know, just both of you being so like proud of what was taking place, and it was really awesome to see. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, there would be no, we wouldn't have been able to make it this far without his support, as well as other people in the community too. We've had various mentors who have helped to come and help lead our Learn to Runs and help with, you know, various aspects of the run crew, like many crews in the city, the idea of nobody getting left behind. And we really make it, you know, an effort to make sure that there are, you know, people in kind of leadership or experience roles at all areas of the group. So, you know, it certainly has not been something that we have done alone. We've had lots of help, but without Mark's help, definitely over the last couple of years, it would not be what it is today with the studio.
Yeah. And I think you said you voluntold him, but it might be that you can see that or you could identify that someone has a strength and is kind of like nudge him along. So it might not be that you just told him. Yeah,
maybe that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, exactly what happened. you're like, oh yeah, you could be. Yeah, okay, go ahead. You know, gonna give him the rope to go out there and do it himself. So we're gonna shift a little bit more now because you've rebranded and now the studio's new name is Cardia. What was the thought process behind that, coming up with a name and everything else that surrounds it?
Sure. So, yeah. So as we had mentioned earlier on, our name when we first started 7 years ago was Tribe. It has always been about community, which I hope has, you know, been clear in sort of the things that we've been talking about here. And so when we were looking for a name for our group, it was just trying to find another name for the word community. And again, this was 7 years ago. So we were reflecting on what words can have, what words mean community, what words, you know, were connected to community. And so searching online, looking through the thesaurus, and the word tribe really resonated at the time with the knowledge that we had of that word. And then back in the beginning of the summer, with the kind of a global awakening that happened connected to Black Lives Matter, we just, thanks to members of our community, made the decision that this word could be hurtful and really didn't communicate the sense of belonging and community that we wanted for the word. Mark and I did a lot more research in terms of, you know, the history of the word tribe, and we were reading through blogs and met with a diversity consultant. And, you know, as soon as we learned that this word could be interpreted in ways that were hurtful, we thought, you know what, let's get rid of it. Making that decision was definitely a very easy decision to do. The actual process was a lot more challenging in terms of looking at, you know, this business that we've had for 7 years and having to completely rebrand and change everything up. So connected with our lawyer and then started the process of trying to find a new name. Lucky for us, our community was incredibly helpful. And as soon as we mentioned that we were going to find a new name, we had many, many, many suggestions from our community about what our new name should be. And the cool thing was that they were all aligned with the word community. In fact, some people said, you should just call it community. And, you know, the challenge, of course, especially nowadays, is, you know, finding something unique and finding something original. I mean, throughout this entire process, had been reaching out with our partners and, you know, different businesses that we worked with. And the guys from CLA had suggested, I'm sure your listeners are familiar, they're a hat company in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And so had suggested a couple tips that we keep in mind, being, you know, trying to find, you make a word up. So instead of taking a word that already existed, creating a brand new word, or they also suggested looking at a common word and changing the spelling. And that's actually what people think that we did. In fact, I was just texting with my mother-in-law last night and had to tell her, no, Cardi is a real word. We did not make this word up. Because people often think that we do. We did. So yeah, so we didn't do either of the things that the guys at CLA suggested, but we, you know, certainly took their advice as we were moving through the process. We did settle on the word Cardia after having over 100 different names. So if anyone who's listening, if you need a database of names,
I know you have them ready.
We're ready. So went through 100 names, pulled 10 of them. Actually, we had 60. Mark and I each pulled 10, decided that we didn't like them. So we created another 40. Mark did that just one day up at the cottage, going through an old, really old thesaurus that was up there. And, you know, cardio, C-A-R-D-I-O, is kind of rooted from this word cardia. So what I liked about it was that, one, it brought us back to our running roots. But two, the other part of the definition of cardia is connected to not only the physical aspect of the heart, so like cardio, but also the emotional aspect, so love. So for me, that brought us back to community and the idea of crew love. And, you know, previously we would often use the hashtag tribe love, and it was all about just the connectedness and, you know, again, that idea of community. And so Cardia had both those aspects. It had the cardio and, you know, roots back in running, but it also had that love and emotion and connection. And it just, you know, really resonated with us. We shared it with a couple folks in our kind of inner crew. And as people found out about it, they really liked it. So we knew we had the right word.
I love it. And I want to talk about your logo in a second. But I just want to mention one comment about you changing a name. And, you know, I think I don't know what kind of feedback you got from people in the community, but, you know, I think when you mentioned, you know, the awakening, and I think people started kind of changing their perspectives and how they speak differently and how they're more aware of kind of, their own biases, stuff like that. And then you change your name. You know, if anyone would have thought, wow, you know, seems kind of disingenuous to just change your name because you think that's going to, you know, that means, you know, that has an impact or anything. Like, you can't, that decision didn't come lightly. Like, there's, like, you talk about lawyers and stuff, but, like, all your branding, like, all everything you invested in, kind of, like, all the stuff, the costs, like, you know, you could have just been like, look, I know Tribe is kind of not, like, a great name, but, like, that's that's our brand, right? So, you know, big kudos to you guys for saying, you know, right. this means something,
yep.
not just to the community, but to us as well. And we are going to make the effort to go all in on this.
Yeah, because then part of it too is that you could have kind of waited out, fly under the radar, don't even meet with a diversity consultant to just even have that pulse, because when you're in it, it's harder to see someone else's perspective. It's almost like you called on the attention to yourself by raising something. Yeah, and you could have just like not changed anything. You know, I've had friends that said, yeah, nothing's wrong with the name, but you know, letting them know that they're not from that background or community, so they don't know what that would have affected someone from that region, or even how they were brought up using that word. So just doing the whole homework of even trying to find a new name, it might have been exciting and scary at the same time, because I'm sure it's like, you know, people that has been around for the past 7 years knew of that. There's hashtags ingrained, there's everything that people felt, and I'm sure you probably still have people just saying, you know, Tribe Fitness off, and they forget. They're like, oh no, it's called this now. But for anyone that didn't know, cardio was an actual word. It made sense because you have a cardiac arrest. It kind of stems from that. And I think ultimately it's like when you're working out that hard, you might have a cardiac arrest. But mean and heart, it's perfect. It's perfect. I think it's going to, like, the idea of it just being changed, I'm sure you all love it. Why even go ahead with it kind of scenario? And that's my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. And it definitely, you know, the whole point, you know, everything we've done for 7 years has been about bringing people together. So the idea of excluding that's not what we're about. If for anyone who has never actually been to the studio before, you know, at the studio we have gender neutral spaces. So our washrooms are all single stalled, our showers are all single stalled. The language that our instructors use, we don't say, okay guys, okay girls, we don't use gendered language. Our instructors are trained on making sure that the language that they're using is neutral and inclusive. So, you know, in terms of the physical environment, the emotional environment, we want people to feel safe. So to even consider that our name was being hurtful to folks is not aligned at all with, you know, how our business is run. So you know, other people might have done those things that you had said, but that's not what we're about. It's about community and, you know, listening to our community and growing with our community. And, you know, people have been very supportive of the change and understanding of the change. And, you know, we've helped other people understand through just our experiences and talking about it and, you know, talking with other run crews. So we weren't the only run crew that used the word tribe or, you know, had the word tribe in, you know, their vernacular, the language that they use. And so being able to also connect with other people in the community and help them understand the learning that we went through, you know, has also been a great thing that I've been able, you know, I'm happy that we've been able to support others to become more inclusive and more accepting. And yeah,
it's super dope. And I think our next move is to, you know, get into what's the reality for cardio now in terms of moving to a virtual, and how you keep people, you know, be more effective or they're actually participating as well, because obviously virtual is not in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when we had to close our doors in March, we moved. So March 16th, we closed our doors. March 17th, we moved everything online. And actually on March 17th was when the government said that businesses had to close. So we actually closed ahead of that, again, just keeping the safety of our community in mind, and moved everything online. And I, you know, came from a teaching background. I you know, had never used Zoom before, had no clue what the heck Zoom even was. And, you know, 8 months later, I can certainly troubleshoot with the best of them, because now I'm on Zoom, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours a day, like many other people. So being able to move not only our, you know, cycling, HIIT, yoga workouts online, but also our running programs as well. And so, you know, we have a really big learn to run community, and you know, like to kind of pride ourselves in, you know, to helping people to take their first steps in running. And that was also part of what we moved online. So we moved our 10, you know, our couch to 5Ks online, our 5K to 10Ks online. We created a variety of virtual challenges for our crews. So we created some scavenger hunts that they were able to do, some boot camps around the city, and all of this was shared through our Instagram. We created a pop-up photo booth. And so during their runs, we invited people to come at a safe distance and get their photo taken. And we were able to piece together all these photos to just help to remind people that they weren't alone. And maybe during this pandemic, they're working out alone or they're running alone, but we're all still together and we're all still a community. During stage two, when we had to shut down again, we then expanded our online programs to an on-demand platform. And we actually launched this on-demand platform with the virtual expo at the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. So as part of virtual our virtual booth that we had there, we launched this new on-demand program. And so it, you know, includes our HIIT workouts that people love, our yoga, our indoor cycling, but also things like meditation. We have some pre-race meditations. So I don't know about you guys, but the night before a race, my mind is like running all over the place and I can't sleep and I'm nervous. Yep. Exactly. So we've created these, you know, meditations that you can do 5 minute, 10 minutes, just, you know, before the night before the race, the morning of the race, just to sit and collect your thoughts, some post-run stretching, as well as foam rolling. And so we've got, you know, a number of foam rolling videos on there, a number of post-run stretches, and coming up with the new TTC challenge. So I'm not sure if either of you guys have signed up for that one yet with Canada yep. Running Series.
Signed up.
But yeah, launching with that, we're going to do a whole week of running content on our on-demand platform. So, you know, people will be able to log in, first week's free, and then take advantage of some of the post-run just recovery videos that we have too.
Yeah, and I think it has been a crazy time for studios. It's just been brutal. You guys, thank goodness for Instagram, social media, because you're still able to connect with the community. And, you know, you just scroll through Cardio Athletica on Instagram. And it's just all the vibes. Let's just reminisce for a second. Let's think about Scotia, half marathon, full marathon, doesn't matter. Coming under the Gardner and seeing, you know,
yep, that energy.
Now Cardio, formerly Tribe Fitness, underneath the that energy, right, was always, yep. There's a few spots you can run through on the course and you know who's going to show up, right? And whether it's Black Toe on Bathurst or you guys underneath Gardner, and it's just the moment in the races that you always look forward to because you know you're going to get that boost, right? Those same vibes, we're not getting them in physical races, but those vibes still come through your social media. So it's still, you still like are cheering people on. You're still kind of highlighting people. I mean, you know, you even had a post back, you know, end of October with like your, all your cheer signs and stuff like that. So it still comes through, in different ways, even though we can't be there together. Right.
Yeah, we actually went and our race team. So not only do we have these meetup runs, but we also have a coached training club. And so they actually went out during one of the Scotiabank weekends with the signs and cheering everybody along as, you know, active TO. So the MGT was closed and they were out there with the music, cheering people on. And this woman went by on her bike and she said, aren't races canceled? And, you know, it's sure races are canceled, but, you know, community isn't canceled. And, you know, coming together and being, you know, together is bigger than this. And, you know, it's like you said, it's that connection that you feel. And we're lucky to have been around for so long for people to be able to think back to STWM or Spring Runoff, you know, at the bottom of that Spring Road Hill. We've got people, you know, we're cheering there at the bottom of the hill to help people kill the hill. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people can connect, you know, back to those feelings and back to those thoughts and, you know, understand that even, you know, these times when we might all feel separated, we're not separated. We're still here together. It just might look a little different.
Exactly.
Okay. So what else, like, what else are you doing? Like, I know you get the studio and stuff like that, but like kind of what else are you working on in the community? Are you working? Like, I know, you know, when you guys started Night Terrors and Parkdale, now there's so many crews. Do you find that you collaborate with other crews about different ideas, especially now?
We do. We seem to share a lot of crew members with Run to Beer. So in the past, we've actually planned big bus trips with them where we've gone, taken a bus trip to Montreal and done races in Montreal. That's cool. We've supported them with their beer miles and fear miles and all that kind of stuff. So when it comes to, you know, collaboration and that sort of thing, we've definitely done a lot of work with Run to Beer. In terms of what we have going forward for running, you know, looking at the TTC challenge is definitely something that we are doing in the community. I've seen on social media, and I'm not sure if you guys have considered this too, but a lot of people who are local actually thinking about running the actual TTC routes. Have you guys considered that? Yeah. So,
we definitely consider that. I'll run it with Everyday Fit and Bernard guys. We're going to do that. Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that we're thinking about too. And just ways to continue to keep people active. And we're thankful for groups like Canada Running Series to continue to give us motivation because it could, you know, as we head into this off season and as races continue to get canceled, you know, it can get kind of depressing and kind of low. And like we talked about at the beginning, finding motivation from other people and other groups is definitely important.
Yeah, and you know, the other bit was we've seen Tribe work with and also Cardia work with a few brands in the past. How do you go about making sure that brand connection or the actual collaboration is genuine enough?
That's a great question. I love that the fact that you said Tribe and then you changed it. We and Jonathan mentioned that too. We do that all the time, you know, because it was 7 years. We'd be like, yeah, you know, I'll meet you outside Tribe or let's go to Tribe. And then, you know, now having to flip our brains. So we're still living in that. So, you know, it's just going to keep happening. Who knows how much longer, but we'll eventually get used to saying Cardia. Connecting with brands is definitely been something that we've been really picky about, to be honest. It's, you know, not just what's convenient or what's, you know, being offered or given. It's looking at the values of the brand, looking at what we're already using. Like for us personally, unless I'm already connected with it, chances are we're not going to team up. You know, it would have to be really something that would knock me off my feet. Because if it already is something that's that amazing, then I'm already aware of it and I'm probably already connected with it. So looking at, you know, the values, what kind of service it provides, you know, the idea of community, inclusion, diversity are certainly things that are important to us as well. And we have a few brands that we work with regularly. And, you know, it's really based off of those things.
Yep. That's like your core values instead of just like anyone that just kind of want to wave their hands at you.
Exactly. And it could be it's so easy, especially being in Toronto, being so out there in the community. You know, a lot of times people will reach out through social media and we, especially at the beginning, again, like I said, 7 years ago, where there was only three of us, just being really protective of our community as well.
Yeah. And that lends well, because then, you wouldn't be able to connect with someone on a genuine level when obviously the brand is just looking for profit at the end of the entire cycle.
Totally. Or the opposite, or as, you know, a company or an individual, an influencer, you know, if you're only looking for free stuff, you know, the people who you're connected with, your community see right through that. So it's, you know, being authentic and making connections that are, you know, important and aligned. And yeah.
100%. There is a part of your own accomplishments that, you know, extends beyond just you being a community leader, being an owner, and also an athlete. There is the fact that, because you said you have a educational background in schooling, you are a published author.
I am. So I have a book that was published with Human Kinetics. So about 4 years ago, we opened the studio, my book came out, we opened the studio, I ran the New York City Marathon, everything was like months, like all right, happening all at the exact same time. So I have a book which you can get at Indigo Chapters on Amazon. It's called Physical Literacy on the Move, and it is for elementary and high school teachers, helping them to get kids to develop the physical confidence and competence through games. So if you look at skills like throwing, hopping, skipping, catching, you know, like the fundamental movement skills, and how we can teach fundamental movement skills through play, through games, rather than just, you know, I'm not sure what your phys ed experiences were like, but, you know, one person stand on one line, the other stand on the other, throw, catch, throw against the wall, catch it from the wall. Like, how can we, instead of doing drills all the time, how can we have more fun, make it more playful, while still learning the skills? So that's what this whole book is about. It's a games book, and it was really exciting when it came out. I toured around and went to a bunch of conferences, and got to speak in front of a lot of people, and, you know, just share again that passion of physical activity. I started right at the beginning saying that I've been very fortunate enough to be active my entire life, and physical activity truly is a passion of mine. So whether it's working with kids or working with adults, really helping everyone to find the joy and the love of movement. And I think that's what we take into running, and that's what we take into our classes, our cardia, is how can we make it fun? How can people feel connected and, you know, really enjoy it? Because sometimes it's not fun. So how can we make it fun?
Yeah, I was always the kid in physical education. I always had a stomach ache just around gym time.
Right then.
I don't know why it happened that way.
Yeah, right then. Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't it so funny? Like, because you know, anyone who follows you on social, you are so active with running, and I'm sure you have other like physical activity passions. How cool would it have been in elementary school or in high school, you know, for you to have start to curate that passion, that love of movement and running back then, right? Or in university, I'm not sure when you started running, but, you know, if we could find the things that we love, the physical activities that we love early on, then it's only going to help us to become active adults later on. So, you know, people who love rock climbing, how great would that be to, you know, go rock climbing in high school, rock climbing in elementary school, find out how you love to move earlier on.
Nice. It goes back to your same book there on physical literacy, because it's easy to be like, hey, I could, you know, rally a group together and show them some workout, but they literally don't know what to do once you're on the spot. But I'm sure it's easier for you now as it comes, but the average person assumes that they would know how to lead a group into a workout. But I see where the actual book itself will be able to guide, especially now, even having where they could, you know, give their students a challenge virtually to do a particular thing. That's not the typical, you know, get off your chair and then sit back down.
Yeah, totally. You've hit it, especially with, you know, the idea of virtual learning now. So, you know, if you're a classroom teacher who doesn't like physical activity. And now not only do you have to teach phys ed, you have to teach phys ed through a computer.
Oh, man. So, you're so just there doing workout.
Yeah. So to be able to, you know, have tools like the book Physical Literacy on the Move really, you know, gives teachers and parents just that extra, you know, extra tool in their tool belt to get kids moving and active and, you know, finding that passion for physical activity and a healthy lifestyle.
So what's next, Heather? What are you working on now?
Well, we're still building out our on-demand platform. So we've got almost 60 videos of, you know, workouts and stretching and meditation that people can access right now. So we're still continuing to build that out. Starting on the 14th, we're allowed to reopen the studio again. So we'll find ourselves hopefully back, you know, working in person as well as online. And we did this last time too, once we reopened. You know, the truth is not everybody's going to feel comfortable and ready to work out in a studio space with others. So we're going to continue online streaming simultaneous. So you can join us from your living room, or you could join us in studio at the exact same time, which I think is a really cool feature because, you know, when you're working from home, you're by yourself, but that energy that you talked about through our social media, that energy transmits through Zoom. And so having people, you know, physically in the studio space and people at home working out at the same time. So we're looking to get that going again on the 14th, and our crew runs are starting back up again. So if people are downtown in the City Place community or down along the MGT and are looking to, you know, keep a safe distance, but get out with other people, you can join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. or Saturdays at 9 a.m., 5K and 10K. And, you know, just trying to come through the other side of this pandemic like all other small businesses and all entrepreneurs and, you know, independently owned businesses. We got to shop local. We got to sweat local. We got to support local to help people like myself and your neighbors, you know, make it through this.
You need that on a shirt.
I know.
Shop
I like
local,
that.
Sweat local.
Well, sweat local. No, it's real. Because then you could do a Peloton and you're not doing anything local at all.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And, you know, there are online, you know, pretty much every, you know, independent studio right now is hustling, whether it's boxing, you know, whatever it is, they have moved to an online platform. So being able to sweat local, even from your living room, makes a difference. And like I said, it's, you know, not some big company and some big brands, you know, some guy who's sitting there just making all these, you know, millions of dollars. It's your neighbors. It's the people you know. So, mm-hmm. You know, sweating local is important. Shopping local is important.
It's funny because people would pay more for the status too, to show off they have a Peloton. So who should we speak to next? Who's from the community or someone that you've wanted to catch up with, but you may not know him in person? Who could we get on here that you'd want to hear from?
That is great. You know, I think looking into, I just came across this Instagram account called Chicks in the Six.
What?
Running Chicks in the Six. Hold on a second, because we got to get this right so your followers can make sure to follow them. Give me a second here. And it is a group of, Chicks Run the Six. Chicks Run the Six. They've only just started. They've got maybe 7-8 posts. October 27th was their first post. They just posted yesterday again. We are here to have fun on the run, running and cheering on other women, running the roads and the trails of Toronto. Chicks Run the Six.
Okay, so it's not a satirical account against me? Okay.
No. Not Jonathan Run the Six. Not it's for different, you,
different, it's different unflattering running photos of me.
You know, Jonathan,
Photoshop.
I hate to break it to you. This account has nothing to do with you.
Oh, you know what?
Hold is it on. Possible? Are you looking at the account right now?
Yeah, it is. It's really awesome. Like, I really like the, what they've done so far, the page. It just started, but yeah, no, it's really awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be cool to, you know, to hear from them and to see what they've going on. Their logo is really great too. So I love the Toronto skyline, and we've used that with when we were Tribe with Cardia. So I think that this is a really cool. It looks like a fun group who are, you know, trying something new, and you know, it would be cool to hear from them and see how they started and what inspired them to run the six.
That's the
I love these recommendations, right? Because it's someone that, you know, I
never thought of.
Mm-hmm. Didn't even think of it. And it's like, here they are. So, you know what? I know we're going to, you know, depart soon, but I did want to ask you one kind of quick question. As you just brought up, you know, Chicks Run the Six. You see, you know, you were one of the three groups now, original like running community, run crews. Now you see like Chicks Run a Six and Black Runners of the GTA and all these. And then we Run North York on recently. So this is groundswell of like run crews filling needs of every part of a GTA. What advice would you give to someone who's also looking to start a run crew or, you know, get into the community?
Go for it. Do it. Because if you are identifying that there is a need, you know, if you are not feeling that you aren't being connected with, or you are finding a time that works for you or a day that works for you, there are, you know, almost 3 million people in Toronto, and there are other people who are, you know, wanting that same thing that you are. So go for it. You know, when I started Cardia 7 years ago, I just sent out a tweet, because again, it was 7 years ago and Twitter was the social media platform we used. And I just said, hey, anyone want to go for a run? Meet me at, you know, 7 p.m. Wednesday at the northwest corner of Spadina and Fort York, and let's go. And you know what? People showed up, and 7 years later, people are still showing up. So do it. Just go for it. And, you know, connect with me. I'd love to help you out. So, you know, find me at Catching Heather and I can, you know, talk you through what we did and help you, you know, create something big too for your community.
I love it. I love it. Love and it. We are huge fans of yours, Heather. Great fans of Mark too. Let him know. just what you're doing in the community, for the community, with the community. You know, we're really fortunate to have you in this community. So thank you for everything you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for letting me be on here on your platform and to talk about Cardia and where we started and the Toronto run crew scene. And it's always great to connect with the two of you guys and to just, you know, chat about what's going on and, you know, hear from you too as well.
Yep. And with that being said, this is the Longest Stride podcast.
Peace.
Thanks.